Today on Real Radio.
Isn't it amazing that the Bible told us 3,000 years ago that before this stuff would happen, Israel would be in existence again? And so it is. That it would be in trouble with its neighbors? And so it is. And listen, that out of what was once the Roman Empire, this man would arise again. That this man would come and through political intrigue and means, surface onto the global scene with brilliant political ideas and tremendous persuasion of nations. And he will bring in an advent of peace, and the Bible says of prosperity, and by doing so will deceive many. Isn't that interesting? Does it not sound like the days that we are living in, at least precursors? Are not things happening in our world right now that suggests that such an event or such a man could not possibly be far away?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days a feeling, give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Revelation. We now arrive at the chapter that many have been waiting for, chapter 13. Of course, this is the 666 portion of Scripture, as well as other exciting things. One key question is, what does it all mean for us? Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called Antichrist is Coming to Town.
Who is this guy? And frankly, the very title that the Bible puts upon him, we say Antichrist. Where we formulate this picture in our mind that he's ugly and speaks weird with a hunchback and he's just Antichrist. Cusses all the time. You know, he's just filthy. He's Antichrist. Well, that's not what he is going to be like, nor his character that way. People, the Antichrist, the word Antichrist means the replacement or imposter Christ, instead of Christ. You need to write that down, because he's not going to show up on the scene, you know, driving some weird looking Batmobile looking car with red underwear and a mustache and really scummy looking kind of guy. He's going to swoon the world with his brilliance. He's going to be an unbelievable orator. You know, the world is lacking today an orator. We've had them from time to time in history, but can you think of a world-renowned orator? You know, Adolf Hitler was a world-renowned orator. Did you know that Hitler had an amazing way, I think satanic, but Hitler had an amazing way of drawing people in? Did you know that historians tell us that when Hitler began to speak to a crowd, he spoke very soft and very quietly? Did you know that? And he would speak soft and quietly. And historians tell us that people would begin to lean and push on one another to try to hear what he was saying. That was part of his ploy. And he, as his speech went on, he began to draw them in, speaking softly, then a little bit louder, a little bit louder, a little bit louder, until at the end are the photos you see, the news clips that you see, where he's screaming at the top of his lungs, on the tip of his toes, and he's yelling. And what do you see the crowd? Do you see the crowd sleeping, anybody? Do you see them sleeping? Do you see them kind of indifferent? They were in a frenzy. I knew two people there are now long dead and gone, but I knew two people who once heard in person Adolf Hitler speak. And it was said they spoke German, they couldn't speak English, but they spoke to their son, who spoke to me, and said that when Hitler opened his mouth, you could not walk away from what he was saying. You couldn't, you were bound. You say, how can that be? It's demonic, it's spiritual. Great orators could be very, very terrible, could be very great. Some people are known as great orators by their content. That's a good thing. Some people are known, and in fact, their content can be weak, but their delivery is something. But the Bible says that there's a man coming on the world scene that when he speaks, his content and how he says it will swoon the world into believing his message. He will be a politician. He will preside over some sort of a legislative type of judicial powers that will allow a global world church to be under his jurisdiction, though he won't be the priest of it. He will issue an entirely new type of currency that will be global. And get a load of this. It will be a currency that is apparently from the Bible. Revelation 13 will teach us apparently electronic. It won't be paper or coinage as we know it today. It will be what we have began as a culture, as a society, as a world to delve into, and that is electronic transfer of funds. The Bible says that he's going to issue a prefix, a number to all humanity to come into his governmental rule. And if you don't accept that prefix of a three-digit number into his realm, then you're not going to live. You won't survive. And you can only imagine the things that are going to be argued as to why the whole world needs numbers. I can give you one good reason right now. It's a darn good one. Terrorism. The effort of a national security card for everybody. Remember how that started post 9/11? And boy, did it get quiet real quick, didn't it? A lot of people kind of freaked out about it. But what if you took away a system and made it cashless? How would terrorists fund themselves if it was a cashless system? How would the drug runners ever fund themselves if it was a cashless society? It's a good idea to go cashless, isn't it? How many credit cards do you have in your wallet? Wouldn't it be nice to have just one number? Why carry a wallet? Wouldn't it really be slick if you could take a number without any noticeable difference to your body and have it imprinted or embedded under the palm or on the top of your right hand, just beneath the surface of the skin by virtue of an electronic chip, as some people have and as many thousands of military personnel have had done to them? That's a good idea. Why not stop all of this diversity that in the early days celebrated a man's independence? But let's do away with that. Man is not able to govern himself any longer. He's out of control. The terrorism and all these crazy acts show this. Why don't we just have one global people? One global language. Why don't we just have one global church? Have you ever seen that bumper sticker? One language, one people, one world. It's a New Age bumper sticker, but the Bible says what they're crying out for is what the Antichrist is going to deliver on the world scene. But please, student of the Bible, make no mistake about it. This guy is not going to be some sort of a overt tyrant on the surface. The Bible says that this man will come and, oh, I got it. I mean, you think for a moment, think. This man's going to come on the world scene when Israel is having difficulty with its neighbors. The Bible says that 3,000 years ago, book of Daniel. Think of that. Question, is Israel having trouble with its neighbors? The Bible says that this man will allow Israel to rebuild their temple. Question, respond please. Does Israel have a temple? Do they want a temple? That this man will draw up a peace treaty that the Bible says in the book of Daniel, beginning at chapter 9, verse 26, that it will be a peace treaty that will guarantee Israel's safe existence and its old Jewish form of Old Testament worship for the space of 7 years. An actual treaty, an agreement to worship in their Jewish way, but under the agreement of this man that we call the Antichrist. The Bible calls him the son of perdition. The book of Zechariah calls him the idle and wicked shepherd. This man's going to engineer this contract while all of their Arab neighbors are going to allow it to take place, and there'll be peace for about 3.5 years. That's halfway into the contract. You say, Jack, where are you getting all this? Exactly from the Bible. Isn't it amazing that the Bible told us 3,000 years ago that before this stuff would happen, Israel would be in existence again? And so it is. That it would be in trouble with its neighbors? And so it is. And listen, that out of what was once the Roman Empire, this man would arise again, that this man would come and through political intrigue and means, surface onto the global scene with brilliant political ideas and tremendous persuasion of nations. And he will bring in an advent of peace, and the Bible says of prosperity, and by doing so will deceive many. Isn't that interesting? Does it not sound like the days that we are living in, at least precursors? Are not things happening in our world right now that suggests that such an event or such a man could not possibly be far away? Very interesting. Well, Revelation chapter 13 is where we pick up our study. We're marching through the book, and we come now to verse 1, and we'll go as far as we can this morning. And I learned that last service to say that because we didn't make it very far. So we'll go as far as we can in this service. And Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 10 tells us about this man, the Antichrist. So the title of the message this morning is Antichrist is Coming to Town. And I got to give you some encouragement, though. You say, oh, no, is he coming soon? Is he? Well, I don't know if he's coming soon or not. Don't know that exactly. Don't know that for sure. Quite frankly, don't need to know. I don't mean to be rude, but I don't need to know. Well, Pastor, aren't you going to tell us who he is? I don't know who he is, and I don't think you can tell who he is. And I think the Bible makes that pretty clear. Yeah, but there's people saying that they know him. Well, they may know him, but I don't know him, and I don't want to know him. But I want to tell you, if you're a Christian this morning, if you are trusting Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you will not have to worry about the exploits and terror that will come from the Antichrist. The Bible makes that very clear. And so you say, well, Pastor, then why are we going to study this? Because we're going to go through the book. And by the way, it will also help us to identify some important things. And that is the word, the prophetic word of God's Bible encourages and strengthens our faith. So we're going to learn a lot about this guy. And we're going to learn about where he came from and or where he's going to come from and where he goes. Revelation chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. John now is speaking. He is given a vision, and this is what John saw. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and his head a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, we remember him from chapter 12, that's Satan. Satan, the dragon, gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. I saw one of his heads as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. And so they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who was able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven. And it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given over to every tribe, tongue, and nation, and all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. It's almost as though John's speaking cryptically, but yet very clearly. You say, Jack, what in the world is he talking about? This is so exciting because once again, I have to say to you, as I've said for this last year in this book, that you'll never understand what John's talking about in the book of Revelation without first having studied the Old Testament. The book of Revelation demands that you know what the Old Testament's about, demands that you know it. Where in the world we would want to ask this question, is this kind of talk about a leopard, about a bear, about this look, about these feet, about this voice, about a man who the Bible says, when the Bible tries to describe what he's like and the system that he brings forth upon the earth, it speaks of him and his system as being very animalistic-like, brutal, powerful, having the voice of a lion and the body of a leopard and the feet of a bear. What a freaky look. What's the Bible saying? And where does it say it? The book of Daniel describes to us exactly these events and who this personage is. Because over the millennia of time, it is easy for us, even now in the 21st century, to open the Bible and understand that a leopard is a beast. It is an animal. It's dangerous. It's beautiful, but it's dangerous. A lion, certainly also beautiful. Regal, speaks of kingship. The Bible says that he's going to be like that. He's going to have a voice like that. He's going to, and what happens when he roars? Well, what happens when a lion roars? All the animal kingdom listens up and fears. The leopard speaks of great power and great speed. And then the bear. What about the bear? The bear is an animal that's afraid of nothing. You've got to be careful about a bear. We learned that camping at Mount Shasta one time about a bear. You don't upset a bear. You better run. Or like the books tell you, if you upset the bear, lay down and cover your head. You know that's about one of the most unnatural things in the world, if you upset a bear. Oh my goodness, I've upset this bear. I'm going to lay down and cover my head. Your feet automatically start moving. I mean, you're out of there, man. Why? Because a bear crushes. A bear, they look so cute. They got little bear eyes. Oh, look, a bear. Did I already tell you this thing about vacation? I went on vacation recently. Did I say this? I'm losing my mind in my old age. Bears look so cute and you want to hug them and then they rip your head off. We were on vacation and we went and swam with dolphins out in the ocean. I'll never get in the water again with a dolphin ever. I've been in a shark cage in Hawaii. I'll do that any day. This dolphin, what a cute dolphin. Aren't they cute? This 1,100-pound dolphin. He did not think I was cute. And then the trainer person, she's on the boat, and she's going, well, he can discern that you're a male. What's that supposed to mean? And this dolphin, have you ever seen how sarcastic they look? I thought they were cute until vacation. They got this little look. Have you seen their mouth? That, the cunning little killer that they are. They got this mouth, and at the end, it curls up like he's smiling at you. He came right up and started pushing on me, and I'm like this in the water, and he's looking at me. And she goes, what have you done? Don't touch his face. My hands were already on his face. So he rubbed by, and he's pushing me with his body, and then he turns, and his flipper, this guy was 1,100 pounds. His flipper was like this. He came by and took it, and boom! And I thought, I'm paying for this. I am paying for this. Sick. Well, the Bible describes the Antichrist as this personage of a leopard and of a lion and of a bear. And you think, well, those are really pretty little cuddly things. The Bible tells us that from God's perspective, it's animalistic. It's a very, very dangerous, evil man who the Bible says is, who will be possessed by Satan himself. He will be a genius having the mind of Satan. He'll know all about politics. He will be able to connive and weave his way into the nations and the leadership of the nations of the world. He will be unlike any politician ever. And he will, by the way, bring to pass all that which the emperor of Japan wished for. He will bring to pass all that Adolf Hitler longed for. Mussolini, Stalin, all of them who failed in their attempt to take the world. Antichrist will do it. The instead of Christ, the imposter Christ. And Jesus warned us over and over again to watch out and to be careful about the Antichrist. He said at a time like that in Matthew 24:21, Jesus said, and there, that is during that time, there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world or until this time, nor ever shall be. So as we get into this, I want you to remember a verse that is very comforting to us and very beneficial at a time like this. Revelation chapter 13 onward teaches us some very graphic things. But listen, in Revelation 1:3, will you jot it down? It's still true, my friend. Revelation 1:3 says, blessed is he who reads. Okay, stop right there. I am encouraging you to read the book of Revelation. Why? Because it's the only book of the Bible that says, happy or blessed is he who reads this book. And those who hear the words of its prophecy. I not only encourage you to read the book of Revelation as often as you can, but keep coming to the Bible study. Why? You'll be blessed. It's the only book in the Bible that invites you to be blessed in its study. He says, and keeps those things that are written in the book, for the time is near. So let's study it and let's be blessed because we do study it. First point, the coming of the Antichrist is this, found in verses 1 and 2. And regarding the Antichrist and his advent, it will become a global event. I'm going to ask you to jot that down because it's specific how it's written. First point, it will become a global event. The Bible teaches us that this man, this political man of intrigue, will arise onto the political scene, somewhat insignificant at first. That's why you hear about the 10 heads and the 10 crowns, and you read about Daniel. What's that all about? You know, it says here in Revelation, the 7 and the 10 and the 10 crowns. What is all that? The book of Daniel tells you what that means. That the man will arise through intrigue. He will be one who is in a leadership role of what used to be ancient Roman Empire or ancient Europe. It will be, the Bible tells us, coming back together again. In the last days, there'll be a United States of Europe in the last days. It will be a system that will begin to dominate financially the world. The euro, I believe, is on its way to take over the dollar. There are companies and there are countries that are engineering that very thing and preparing. I know some of you that, my goodness, it's been several years now. You went out and bought thousands and thousands of euros. And now you've done pretty good on your money. Why is that the case? Because you'll see a currency arise out of Europe that will overcome the dollar, it will overcome the British pound, it will overcome the yen or other currencies. The Bible speaks about the Antichrist formulating a financial system that is going to be all powerful. And it's going to eventually become his world. But the thing is that he comes on the scene and it will be a global event that grows.
Well, some pretty exciting things to be looking forward to. We've been listening to pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, taking us through the first 10 verses of Revelation chapter 13, which speaks of the Antichrist. And we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast of Real Radio with more in this presentation. Before we conclude today's broadcast, remember that Pastor Jack and all of us here at Real Radio would love to hear from you. If the program is playing a part in your growth as a believer, let us know by writing, clicking, or calling. Here's our mailing address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. When you write, be sure and remember the costs associated with bringing you this daily presentation. Once again, our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number is easy, 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. Or pay us a visit at www.realradioactive.org, www.realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your financial participation. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.